Well, this morning we're going to continue in our series called Starting Point. We have gone all the way through Genesis from chapter 1 all the way through 21. Last week, Pastor finished chapter number 21, and this week we're in chapter number 22, which I think, in my opinion, is the mountaintop experience of Genesis. I love Genesis 22, and what we're going to look at today, I personally am very, very excited about. But when we look at Genesis, why do we have the term starting point? Why is our series labeled that? And I want to remind you that Moses is writing Genesis. He writes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And he is writing this as the children of Israel are coming out of the land of Egypt. He is writing this account to the children of Israel, reminding them, first of all, who your God is, and reminding them where they came from. And so as we dive into the chapter today, I want you to remember that. That's Moses writing to the children of Israel, reminding them who their God really is. So let's open up to Genesis chapter 22 this morning. If you don't have a copy of God's word, you can follow along on the screens. There'll be the passages written up there. I'll read it out loud. We'll read a couple of verses here to begin with. Genesis chapter number 22. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and when we will come to you back to you.' So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hands and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' Then he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' So he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' Oh, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.'" I want to bring a message to you today entitled, "The Faith Test." The Faith Test. Now, I'm one of the weird kids when I was in school. Thank you for not laughing. I loved to take tests. I just saw it as a challenge. I enjoyed it. When it was test day, I looked forward to it. And I really never had to study for tests. Now, I'm not saying I never did, but it just wasn't my common practice. And so if I listened well in class, I would be able to go take a test with just barely looking over some notes. Not everybody's like that. I understand that. But there was a test that I did study for months and months and months. You see, at the college I went to, every male before you graduated had to take a final test called the orals, because you would sit in front of a desk with two professors, and for hours they would ask you any question they wanted to about doctrine, and you had to be able to defend and answer with Bible the question about doctrine. And so, of course, I stuttered for months and months for this, knowing it was coming. No, for 4 years, orals is on its way. It's going to be here. Man, I better study. So I did. I studied for a long time. And I went and took the test, and it took me a couple hours, I think 3 hours, maybe four total, to go through the whole process. And luckily I passed. Whew, praise the Lord. I made it. As soon as I passed, that weight was lifted. You know, the question is, why did I need to be tested? Why was there this large test at the end of your college education? Before you graduated, you had to pass this. What was the point of that? Can I tell you the point of taking a test is so that you know the material that you were taught. This is the same thing for any test, a spelling test, a history test. When you take a test, the point of a test is to say, okay, the material has been given to you. Do you understand the material? A test shows you that you understand the material, and it also shows the teacher that you understand the material. It's no different for Abraham. Abraham is going to be tested today. Abraham has already gone through many tests. Warren Wiersbe points out some of the tests that Abraham has already gone through. Listen to this. He says in his commentary, Abraham has faced the family test where he had to leave home. He's faced the famine test when he went down to Egypt. He's faced the fellowship test with his nephew and Lot. He faced the fight test when he had to fight the kings to the north. He faced the fortune test when he rejected the wealth from Sodom. He faced the fatherhood test when he and Sarah schemed to conceive Ishmael. He faced the farewell test when he had to send his son Ishmael away. But today is a climax. All the things that you've learned so far, Abraham, are going to pinnacle in Genesis chapter number 22 with the faith test. Abraham, all the lessons that you've learned before, all the notes that you've taken are going to come into play here. As we just read the passage, let me give you a spoiler alert. Abraham passes with flying colors today, but he has to go through it. So he sits in the chair. He sits in the desk, and here comes the test. I tell you that for you and me today, there's probably a test that you're facing. Maybe you're sitting in the desk of school, and there's a paper in front of you that says the faith test. And maybe you're going through something right now that is really trying and testing. Do you know your God? Do you believe him? Here's the test. I hope that you are. You say, whoa, whoa, whoa. You hope that I'm going through a faith test right now? I do. I do. Because Hebrews says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please him without faith. And so what is God doing? He's saying, I want to test your faith. Can I tell you something? Abraham was a rich man, but God did not ask for his riches and wealth. Abraham had lots of cattle and lots of maidservants and gold and silver. The Bible tells us that. But he did not ask for those things. What did he ask for? He says, Abraham, I want to have your faith. See, God says, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. He says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. Because everything is sufficient in me. Everything is mine. God doesn't want something from you. He wants your faith. And a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And so I'm praying today that you're in a faith test. The answer is, what do we do with that? What do we do with this test that's in front of us? Can I give you some good news? Every test that God gives you, listen, this is great, is open book. You can sit down and you can open up any text that he's given you before. You can recount any lesson that he's taught you before. Listen, you can even bring your own notes with you from the lessons that God has taught you in the past. But your test is of your faith, and God wants to see it in you today. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at three different steps to take when you have the faith test. Three steps. So follow along with me as we go through this passage and we look at this test that Abraham took. Number one, I want you to see this. You must know your instructions. You must know your instructions. Look at verse number one. chapter 22, it says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.'" Now let me tell you where we're at right now. Remember, Abraham has gone through many tests before. Abraham is an older man right now. Probably according to some scholars would say that Isaac is probably around between 15 to 25 years old, somewhere in that range. So Abraham for now has had, is about 125 years old. He has been tested his whole life, yet he's having another test. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter the age you're at or the maturity of your Christian status right now, God is going to test your faith until we reach heaven. He wants to build you and grow you. He says he's going to conform you into the image of his son. And how does he do that? Through shaping, through testing, through teaching, learning. He wants to shape you into the image of his son. So he's not going to stop. Verse 1 says he tests Abraham even though he was 125 years old. Verse number 2 says this. Then he said, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering." You have to know your instructions. Why? Because instructions must be ready to be received. Did you see Abraham's posture when he answered God here? What was his answer? "Oh, God, not again." Has God called to you? What do you feel like saying sometimes? "Oh, here we go again. What now? What do you have for me?" That was not his posture. Here's what Abraham does. He says, "God, here I am." And you can almost see with open arms, he says, "God, I'm at your disposal. Whatever you want, whatever you need, I'm here. I'm ready. I'm a servant. I'm willing." And God knew that. And so he gives him the test. So you have to be ready to receive instructions. What's your posture today when God is knocking at your door? Are you saying, "God, I don't want a part of this. God, I'm not ready. God, I don't really want to go through another test again." You have to be ready and willing to receive those instructions. But look at here also. The instructions are clearly given. Verse number 2, God is very clear on the test and the instructions that he gives Abraham. Now, we've all been through school here. We've all taken tests before. When you get your test, usually there is always instructions on it, right? Fill in the blank. Solve for X, write an essay. You have to read your instructions first so you know how to take the test. If you don't read the instructions, then you sometimes get messed up. I've done that before. You go through and take a test all the way to the bottom. You're like, "Great, I did it." And then you go up to the top and it says, "Actually, all you needed to do was circle this." You're like, "Oh, no." Read your instructions. God's instructions are very clear. He said, "Abraham, I want you to take your son, go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there." You say, "Well, Pastor Levi, what are my instructions?" It's given through right here, God's word. "God, what are my instructions for what kind of father I'm supposed to be? What kind of church member am I supposed to be? God, what am I supposed to do with my money? God, how is my attitude supposed to be in this situation? God, how do you want me to respond in this?" God gives clear instructions in his word. So here's what I'm telling you today, very plain and simple. Read the instructions. Get in your word. Find out. When you are lost, go read the instructions. You must know your instructions. And God gives them very clearly here. There was no mincing of words. God told them, and God tells us. I remember when I was a young kid, I loved lemon bars. I still do. It was one of my favorite go-tos, lemon bars. I would even have somebody in our school make them for me. I was like, "Hey, can you make me some lemon bars?" And they would. I would love it. Love lemon bars. And when I was real little, though, I was intrigued with baking. And so I would always ask my parents, "Mom, can I bake some cookies? Mom, can I bake this? Mom, can I do that?" And he was always, "No, no, 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 no." Well, one time, I got a hold of my dad. I said, "Hey, Dad, can I bake some lemon bars?" And he asked me, he says, "Well, do you know how?" I said, "Yeah, I know how to bake lemon bars. There's only like 3 ingredients. You just mix them together and put them in the oven. You're good to go." He goes, "You're sure you know how?" And I'm like, "Dad, trust me. I know how to do this." And I got the lemon bars out. There's only like 2 packages. You open them and I put them together and I mixed it all up and I put it in the oven and I got it out and it was a mess. It was all soupy. Nothing was cooked. It wasn't right. And to this day, I don't know what I did. But I told my dad, I reassured him, "Dad, I know how to do this." And I didn't read the instructions. And I tried it my own way. And look how it turned out. Can I tell you this morning, Christian? You have to know your instructions. The test is coming. Maybe you're in the test right now. Can I say this? Know your instructions. Read them. understand them, be ready to accept them. Because when you do, that's what's going to make you prepared for the faith test. Not only do we need to know your instructions, number two, you need to know or show your work. Show your work. I remember on many tests, specifically math tests, you get to the math test and you get to the bottom where it's not just filling the answer, it's an algebra problem. What do they always say? Show your work. And, you know, I didn't like that. I love tests, like I said, and so I would just go through really quick and say, oh, I can figure this out in my head, and I'd write the answer down. But then I didn't show my work. What does showing your work do? Well, showing your work really explains to the teacher that you know what's going on. It helps you to work through the problem. So if you make a mistake, you can go back and figure out, where did I mess up? But you're always instructed on those tests to show your work. Can I tell you what? For the faith test, it is no different. God wants you to show your work in this faith test. How do we do that? Well, showing your work, first of all, it takes action. Now, we read the entire passage before we started because I wanted you to see the full picture of the story. I wanted you to see how Abraham acted, how Abraham responded, how he went through this test, and exactly what he did to show his action. Can we recount it for just a minute? You look back in verse number 3, what does it say? It says, "And so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took his men with him and Isaac." And it says he split the wood for the burnt offering, and they went and they traveled on. You see, Abraham did not waste any time. As soon as he heard God wanted something from him, he said, "I'm going to respond." You see this all over in Scripture. When God speaks to somebody, very often you see they rise up early in the morning. They say, "If God wants something done, I'm going to do it right now." And so he took action. God wants me to have this faith test. I'm going to show my work. I'm not going to hesitate. We think that sometimes these trials, these difficult times, the faith test will kind of just pass us by if we step back and do nothing. We think if I'm just passive in this test, if I just wait for a little while, maybe it'll pass over and I don't have to deal with it. Can I remind you, Christian, God wants that faith from you. And he's not going to let you go because he loves you, because he's trying to form you into the image of Jesus Christ. He is going to continue to push this faith test on you. And he's asking for action. He's asking you to move. As we see Abraham, he gets ready, he goes, he travels 3 days into this journey. Can we skip just ahead for a second to verse number 10? Here's what he says. The Bible tells us this. It says, "And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son." This was the final question on the test. This was the last question. Abraham, it's not that hard to get some wood together and travel to a mountain. It's not that hard to bring your son with you. You've kind of obeyed the first couple of instructions, but here's the last question. Are you willing to follow through with what I'm asking? And Abraham, this is the last question. This is what's going to show your faith. Your work takes action. Can I remind you that James speaks about this very thing? He speaks about a faith that is dead and a faith that is living, a true faith. If you look in James chapter number 2, let me read it for you. Here's what he says. He says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" Now, right off the bat, we would think, whoa, whoa, whoa. Can faith save him? Yes, we believe that. We believe that it is by faith is the only way of salvation. Ephesians 2 says it's not by works, and that's not exactly what James is getting at here. James is telling you and me, he's saying, hey, there are two different kinds of faith. There is a faith that is all word, it's all facade, it's all, I can say the right thing, I can do the right thing, I can come to church, I can give in the offering, but that faith that I have is a false faith, it's a fake faith. He says, if you have this faith over here that is fake, that has no works, he says, but then there's a faith over here. There's a faith that I believe in, and I'm convinced, and I know, and there's a God, and I am moving my life in that direction, and you're going to see it in the way that I act, and the way that I speak, and the decisions that I make. There is going to be fruit, and there is going to be works behind this faith. So here he posed the question, can faith save you alone? No. Because the faith he's talking about is a fake, false faith. He says that type of faith can't save you. Faith in God. Not that you do works to be saved, but because you love God and your faith produces work automatically. It's the fruit of faith. So then he goes on the next part of the chapter to say this. We're still in James 2. Here's what he says. He says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. But some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. He says, listen, this false faith, it's not something that you can prove. You have faith? Yeah, I do. Show me. I can't. You have faith? Yes, I do. Show me. Here's all my works. You can see that my faith is real because of the works that are coming out of it. I do not work for my faith. I have fruit because of my faith. Now, this is exactly where Abraham is. God is saying, Abraham, you have a faith, but I want to put a test to you. I want to give you the faith test, and I want to see if all the things that you have said so far are true, if you are going to actually have fruit to your faith. Because right now, Abraham, you have walked down this trail. You have walked 3 days to this mountain, and you have done the things that you're supposed to do. Even it says that he stopped and he talked to his two servants. He says, you two stay here, and me and the lad will go up, and we will worship, and we will come back again. Faith? Abraham, you told these two men about your faith, so let's see it. How about he goes on to tell his son? He says, his son says, hey, Dad, listen, where's the lamb? We're going to offer, right? Where's the lamb? Can I pause here for a moment and tell you, you know what? Why did Isaac consider that? Why did Isaac think that, Dad, where's the lamb? Can I tell you something, dads? That there was a pattern set in his life of this is how we do things. We worship God. We sacrifice. This is how we do it. We do it with an altar. We do it with a lamb, we do it with a knife, and we do it with fire. And it was done time and time and time and time again. So this time, now when we come to, it's time to sacrifice, all of a sudden, Dad, we got an altar, we're going to make it up there. Dad, we got the fire. Dad, we got the knife. Dad, where's the lamb? Can I tell you, dads, there was a pattern set in his life that this is how we do things, and this is how it's done, and we're not going to waver from this. And can I tell you that when you set those patterns in your families, it is helpful to you and your family to learn how to do something, learn how to sacrifice. But listen, it is also an accountability that when you step out of line, when you waver a little bit, there's some people behind you says, hey, Dad, this is not how we do this. Dad, how come we're not going to church today? Dad, how come we don't have an offering to give? Dad, how come we're acting like that? Dad, how come you said that when you were mad on the road? Dad, how come you weren't nice to that person? And you set patterns in your life. It's going to help teach your kids, help teach your family, but also going to hold you accountable. And man, fathers, we've got to do that. We've got to set patterns. And he says to his son Isaac, well, Isaac, we're going to go worship. God's going to provide a lamb. And God now in verse 10 says, well, let's see if your faith has fruit. And Abraham had a true, genuine faith because the Bible says he picked up that knife and went to slay his son. Now, I can't spend too much time here, but when we show our work absolutely has to take action. But look at this, it provides confidence. It provides confidence. When you show your work, it provides confidence to you. When we talk about a test, when you're showing your work, you're like, yep, I know that plus that equals that, and that times that equals that. It gives you confidence that I've taken these steps and I've done them. I know exactly what I'm supposed to do, and I'm doing it exactly how it's supposed to be done. Showing your work provides confidence. We just went through the confidence that Abraham showed to his two servants. Hey, we're going to go up to the mountain, we're going to worship, and we will come back to you. There's a confidence. Son, where's the lamb? God will provide for himself a lamb. There's a confidence. Man, don't you want that confidence? Don't you want that confidence to say, hey, no matter what's going on in my life, bring it at me. Throw it at me, life, because I have a God who is faithful. And if I want you to leave with anything today, I want you to know this. You can radically live out your faith because God is faithful. There is confidence when you have a God that has never failed, and he won't fail, and he'll always come through because he always has. It puts a confidence in you that there is like nothing else. Now, can I tell you this? When Abraham does this, he puts his confidence in God, not because of he was just that great of a Christian. Where does this confidence come from? I'm going to tell you where. It comes from what God has already said. Believer, we do not have a blind faith today. We are not teaching that you just have faith that everything will work out, just have faith. No. Our faith is in something. Our faith is in God's word. Our faith is in what he said. And so Abraham, when he is mustering up this faith, what does he say? What do I believe? Just that thing is going to be okay? No, what I'm going to believe is what God has said. Let's look at what God has told Abraham already. In Genesis 17, 19, he says, "No, Sarah, your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him." Genesis 17, 21 says, "But my covenant I will establish with Isaac." Genesis 21, 12, the last chapter we were just in last week, it says, "For in Isaac your seed shall be called." The promise that God gave Abraham was, Abraham, I'm not just going to give you some seed. I'm not just going to let you have some heritage. It is going to be through Isaac, your only begotten son. And Abraham believed him. So what does that do? Abraham now has a promise from God. And so Abraham has this confidence where he can throw up his hands and say, "God, there's a terrible theological issue here where you promised me that I would have a son named Isaac and that my seed would be through him forever. You would bless all the nations of the earth through him. But you just told me to go sacrifice him. And there is a problem that you're going to have to figure out." That's the kind of confidence you can have. When you follow what God says, saying, "God, you told me this in your word. You told me to obey. You told me to give. And now, God, all of a sudden there's a problem because the bill is coming and I don't have the money. So guess what? Here's a problem that you're going to have to figure out. Not me. It's not my problem to figure out. It's your problem to figure out. Because I am obeying and I'm radically living out the faith because you're a faithful God." Now, not all the time in Scripture does God give us insight to what people think, but in this passage, he does. And it's not in Genesis. You have to go all the way to Hebrews to figure out what Abraham was thinking. Let's do that for just a moment, can we? I think this is the most pinnacle, this is the part that I'm most excited about. Hebrews, let's go there real fast. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 17 through 19 says this. As it's recalling, Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith. As it's recalling all these famous men that had faith in God, here's what it says about Abraham. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said," listen, "in Isaac your seed shall be called." That's the verse that we just read. So he said, in faith, he offered up Isaac, knowing that Isaac was going to be the one that would carry on the heritage. Here's what it says. Look at the next part. Here it says this. "Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead." This is the most exciting part of it all. He says, "God, there's a problem here. I'm supposed to kill my son, but he's supposed to live and carry on a heritage. You've got a problem to fix, so I'm going to stand back and watch you." He says, "I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know the end result, but all I know is this. You're going to step in, and you're going to do something miraculous. Even if it means I take that knife, and I kill my son on that altar, and I burn it with fire, it means you're going to have to do something incredible. You're going to have to raise him up from the dead. You're going to have to do something that's out of my control, that's out of my ability, that's out of my power, and I'm telling you today that God can do that for you. God can take something that is incredibly wrong in your life, and he can step in and make an amazing miracle where you give him the glory at the end. I secretly think that Abraham thought this was going to happen. I secretly think that from chapter 22, verse number 1, when he said, God, here I am, he knew, well, my son's going to die. But this whole time, as he's gathering wood, as he's getting the fire ready, as he's telling his servants, come with us, we're going over to Moriah, we're going to offer a sacrifice there, in the back of his head, I just wonder if he thought, I'm excited to see this. I'm excited to not to kill my son, but I'm excited to see him be raised up by God, because if I'm going to fulfill this sacrifice, I'm going to obey God. My faith is not false. My faith is not fake. There's fruit to my faith, and so I'm going to go through with it, and I'm going to wait to see what God's going to do, and he's going to raise my son up from the dead, because I already know God is true. I already know God's not a liar, and he already promised me that my son is going to carry on. So let's see this happen. Never once do you see Abraham waver in his belief the whole time. For 3 days, he let this mold over in his mind, never once wavering. His son asked, God is going to provide a lamb. When you show your work, it brings a confidence in your God. It's not me, it's him. Not only do we see in this faith test that you need to know your instructions, that you need to show your work. But lastly, once the test is over, you receive your grade. When all the answers have been filled in, you receive your grade. Question is, why don't we just teach people material in school and let them move on and graduate? Well, the answer is, because you need to know what you've been taught. And for a lifetime, you can be taught. For a lifetime, you can hear lessons. But until you're tested, that faith cannot be trusted. You see, your grade reveals your education. The grade that you receive reveals your education. How well do I know this material? This tells my teacher, how well do they understand this material? Look at verse number 12 here. It says, we'll start in verse 11. It says, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. Remember, he is ready to kill his son. Verse 12 says, and he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. God says, hey, listen, you've taken your test. You've given your answer. You took the knife to slay your son. Now I know that you have a faith that works. It's not that God was not all-knowing. It's that Abraham needed to experience this. Abraham in his head knew that God had the ability to do miraculous things. I mean, he just, in the last chapter, had a son at his old age, at Sarah's old age. The question was not, could God do something miraculous? The question was, will God, when I step out in faith, will God do something miraculous? Abraham went to knowing that God could, to saying, I have experienced it. I've been there. The actual basis of this entire test is caught in verse number 12. Did you see it? And I want to point this out to you, because lest we think that our faith test is based off of something that we do for God, I want you to see what God says the test really was. Look at it with me in verse number 12. He says, I know that you fear God since you have not withheld your son. Christian, God may not be asking you to give something. He might not be asking you to say, I'm testing your faith based of how much money you give. I'm testing your faith basis of how often do you pray. But the test here, God says, is that the test for you, Abraham, is not were you willing to give, because he had money and gold and silver and cattle and servants and land. He had all that, but what are you going to withhold from me? That's the real question. What does God have access to in your life? We may give him access to almost everything, but this one thing I'm going to withhold. And that is the one thing that he wants you to give up. Withholding tells God that you are almost worthy. You sent your son to die on a cross for my sins and provide for me a home in heaven, and you are almost worthy. But this sin is more important to me. But this thing is more important to me. But this relationship is more important to me. And he said, I see and I know, since you are not willing, or since you did not withhold your son from me. Your grade reveals your education, and it also, your grade confirms your understanding. He knew that God could, and now he experienced that. I tell you what, in this verse here, number 14, it says, Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount, the Lord shall be provided. In that same mount, in verse number 1, it says that the place where Abraham went was called Moriah. Moriah, as we will find out later in Scripture, is going to be the place where David erects an altar on a threshing floor. And he offers a sacrifice there. And later on, David's son is going to build a temple right there on Mount Moriah. And it could be in that same region right here in the mount that God had him on. It could be the same place where either that area or the exact spot where Jesus Christ would die on a cross. And he would, listen, provide for you the thing that you need the most. What you need most is not money. It's not that bill to be paid. It's not that relationship. It's not that house. It's not that position. It's not that job. What you need the most right now is Jesus. And he said, I will provide for you. Now listen, if you have not come to know Jesus Christ today as your Savior, you have been provided for. We are Isaac. We are Isaac laying on that altar, and our fate was to be killed. Our fate was a sacrifice. Our fate was death. And God says, I'm going to bring in a ram. I'm going to bring it in your stead and die in your place. Listen, Jesus Christ died in your place on a cross over 2,000 years ago. And the price that you deserve to pay for sin was an eternity without him, an eternity in a place called hell, in torment forever. But he said, I love you so much, I'm going to send my son. And just like Isaac was taken off the altar and that ram was put in its place, we were taken off the cross and God was put in our place. We didn't have to suffer that. He died for you. And the only thing he says is, I ask that you believe me. You accept me. Repent from your sin. Turn from your sin and turn to me and me alone. He said, and I will provide the exact thing that you need. The story is told of a close basketball game where Jefferson High was down by 1 point. With seconds left on the clock, Jefferson High called a timeout, and the coach gathered the players together, and he made a play. In this play, Stephen was to take the winning shot. And as the play was conducted in those 30 seconds, Stephen got real nervous. You could see it on his face. He got nervous with the weight of the responsibility of, man, if I go out there, we're down by one. If I shoot this and I miss, we lose. And the weight was weighing on him. The coach saw it. The coach went over to Stephen and he said, Stephen, I know you're nervous, but I want to tell you something. He says, Stephen, if you miss this shot, it's not on you. I called the play. The responsibility of the outcome is on me. You just go and take the shot. And Christian, that's exactly what we need. We need to understand that what God is asking from us is not to just come up with our own strength and our own grit to try to get through life. He's saying, I want you to take this test and understand that the responsibility is on me. I've given you the instructions. I've told you what to do. All you have to do is take the shot. So where are you today in the faith test? Do you know your instructions? Are you showing your work? Because one day we're going to get our grade. One day we're going to get our grade. When we stand before the Bema seat, our works will be laid out. All the ones that are worthless will be burned up. Corinthians chapter 3 teaches us that. And all the things that are left will be rewards that we are placed at the feet of Jesus. We'll get a reward one day. And so let's live out our faith because we know we have a God that is faithful. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's pray together this morning.